presented by the American Bankers Association.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Wednesday, March 20th. Here's what's driving the day. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will remotely address the Senate Republican lunch today, less than 1 week after Majority Leader Chuck Schumer used the Senate floor to rebuke Netanyahu's handling of the war in Gaza and call for new elections in Israel. Note that for all of the bluster from Bibi and company about Schumer's alleged meddling in Israeli politics, Netanyahu has long felt perfectly at home among GOP circles in Washington. Next up, there's increasing momentum around the idea of turning aid to Ukraine into a loan program, with several Democrats now telling Playbook they are either not opposed or outright supportive of the idea, which originated with Donald Trump and has spread like wildfire through Republican circles in Congress. Dick Durbin told Playbook yesterday, "We need to send them resources, no strings attached." But when pressed on the loan issue, he added, "Of course, it'd be worth considering." And one key Democrat told us flat out he'd vote for it. Senator Chris Coons, a close Biden confidant, said, "I'd support it because, bluntly, we've got to get this done." The biggest story from Tuesday's election night was in Ohio, where former car dealer Bernie Moreno, the Trump-endorsed candidate in the GOP primary, easily defeated two opponents backed by the Ohio Republican establishment, including Mike DeWine, the governor, and former Senator Rob Portman. Moreno will now face Democrat Sherrod Brown this fall in a race that could determine which party controls the Senate. Joining me now to discuss the Ohio Senate race is Politics Bureau Chief and Senior Political Columnist Jonathan Martin. Good morning, J-Mart.
Hey, Ryan.
You were out in Ohio and you wrote a column yesterday about the Senate race. Bernie Moreno won. So set the table for us going into last night. What did you learn out there?
Well, if ever there was going to be a moment where the anti-Trump forces in the party, the old guard, could sneak a candidate through customs, it would have been this race. You had Matt Dolan with a financial advantage because he's a self-funder. You had a third candidate in the race, so he didn't have to get 50.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the Republican presidential primary over, a lot of the sort of MAGA crowd, you know, wouldn't necessarily show up because Trump didn't need them for his own primary. But, you know, this shows, as I wrote, that even with that stuff playing in Dolan's favor, the fact that he didn't win and was convincingly defeated just shows the depth of Trump's hold on the Republican Party. You know, Trump went back into the state on Saturday. He had a rally at the Dayton airport. And, you know, he sends a message that Moreno's my guy. That was the bulk of Moreno's paid advertising. And guess what? That's the most effective message in Republican politics.
All right. So, Jonathan, one of the themes of this cycle's Senate races is that, you know, Senator Daines and others have been doing a better job of recruiting more electable candidates, that they haven't had the same problem that has plagued them in recent cycles. How did that dynamic play here? How did that wing of the party, which has sort of talked Trump into backing what they see as the more electable person, how did that dynamic play out behind the scenes with Trump just going full in for Moreno?
Well, this is the larger question, Ryan, is in the fall, is Bernie Moreno going to be more vulnerable than Matt Dolan would have been against Sherrod Brown, which is precisely the bet Democrats made because Democrats came in and spent over $2 million in just the last week to lift up Bernie Moreno in a fashion that they've done more and more in recent elections. Democrats beating in to Republican primaries to prop up the candidate they prefer to run against in the general. And I think that helped Moreno in the final days, along with Trump coming in. He had kind of a double-barreled pro-Moreno effort, Ryan, from the Democrats and from Donald Trump. And that was helpful. Okay, so I think Sherrod Brown's bad is that I get a weak opponent like I did 6 years ago, and I can defy political gravity again in Ohio because of my own brand and because of a lackluster opponent. The challenge for Brown this time is that unlike 6 years ago, which was a very favorable midterm for Democrats, this is going to be a presidential cycle. And Ryan, he's not been on the ballot in one of those in Ohio since Ohio was a battleground state. And by the way, a battleground state that year, 2012, Barack Obama carried and helped Sherrod Brown. A very different state and a very different cycle for Sherrod Brown this time. But make no mistake, Democrats got the candidate they wanted in Bernie Moreno.
Right. So he hasn't been on the ballot in a Trump presidential cycle. So this is going to be a whole new world for him.
Exactly. Because 16 and 20, he was not on the ballot.
Ohio has been one of those states that has just, you know, where the Republican Party, as the Republican Party has become more of a working class party, Ohio has been sort of ground zero. So let's talk about Sherrod Brown for one sec, J-Mart. Biden isn't going to play in Ohio. Ohio's not a swing state this presidential cycle, right?
Yes.
So Brown is going to have to win over quite a few Trump voters to pull a three-peat here.
Right.
How does he do that? Does he, you know, he's obviously, he's got a good bond with working class voters in Ohio. He's much more of a sort of nationalist Democrat. He overlaps more with Trump on some of these issues. But does he go that route and double down? Or does he have to go for the Nikki Haley suburban and exurban folks who are worked up about abortion and democracy?
It's a great question because there's nobody who has tried to create more of a populist identity in today's Democratic Party than Sherrod Brown. And he was doing it before it was cool, well before Donald Trump. If Sherrod Brown survives for one last campaign, by the way, keep in mind, Sherrod Brown's first time on the ballot, Ryan, was 1974, the Watergate baby year, when he ran and won a state, a House seat as a 22-year-old. So he's been running for a long time.
That's an amazing fact. He does not seem that old.
Yeah. And Mike DeWine's first race was 76. So these are the sort of two old Ohio lions in winter. So if Sherrod can win one more time, it'll be not because of the guy on the line in Toledo or in the Mahoning Valley. It'll be because of the country club crowd. It'll be because the old Bush Republican Party can't abide the Trumpified GOP, and they vote for Democratic candidates for president and senator. So that's the irony here, is that Sherrod Brown, yes, he's going to try to outrun his party's brand with working class white voters. There's no question about it. But he's going to be even more reliant on the Trump issue, on the abortion issue, on democracy, to try and appeal to people who are the kind of antithesis of what he's built his identity on his entire career, which is to say the, you know, loafers crowd in suburban Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland.
And Moreno makes that more of a strategy for him than Dolan would have.
Dolan would have. Yeah. No, because Dolan would have really made it difficult for Sherrod Brown to win over those voters, because Matt Dolan is one of those. His family owns the Cleveland baseball franchise, right?
Good stuff, J-Mart. Thank you for breaking this down. And I'm sure you'll be out in Ohio again soon now.
It's going to be a competitive state, at least down the ballot this cycle.
And for your schedule today, the Senate and the House are in. President Biden will spend the day out west. He campaigns in Phoenix in the morning and then has two fundraisers in the Dallas area scheduled tonight. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
I'm Rob Nichols, President and CEO of the American Bankers Association. America's banks believe that everyone should be able to enjoy the safety, convenience, and other benefits that come with a bank account. That's why banks of all sizes in the Washington area and across the country now offer low-cost and easy-to-use bank-on certified accounts. To learn more about our goal to get everyone banked, and to see if a bank on account might be right for you, visit aba.com/getbanked.